Whether you're at the beginning of your property journey, looking to enter the market, or a seasoned professional seeking new strategies and insights, this podcast is your one-stop resource for all things property investment. Welcome to the Property Investors Network podcast. Let's embark on this exciting journey together and make your property investment dreams a reality. Some of the different ways that you can look at funding your property deals, because sometimes we can get very caught up when we're looking at property, when we're stacking the numbers, and basically we're at a base level in whatever the deals are that we're looking at. And it can seem very, very daunting when you're looking at, you know, hundreds of thousands, potentially even millions of pounds, to know how you could fund a deal, how you could actually make a deal work in your circumstances. And of course, we all come at property investing from different sides of the equation. We've all got different circumstances, different backgrounds and things. And we've also all got limiting beliefs in what we think we can achieve and what we think we can do in property. And of course, when it comes to funding, when it comes to money, as a society, sometimes it can be very, very hard to talk about money. It's almost like a taboo. You know, you feel almost embarrassed or a bit rude in some cases asking somebody, well, how much money have you got in the bank? You know, it's not something that we openly do. And for good reason, really, it can be prying. But having conversations with people, getting to know people, and also having people coming to you offering, you know, their funds, their money for a return on their investment is massively, massively powerful. But there's some certain ways that you can go about this. Now, you can just ask people straight out, but I wouldn't really recommend that. That's probably not the best use of your time or trying to get there. And some people might take offense to it. But we're going to go through four methods here, which really just give you a bit of food for thought. We've got some top tips at the end as well. But of course, you know, first and foremost, you know, number one, if you like, is personally funding the deals yourself. So there are ways that you can get in there. Of course, if you've got your own personal savings, it's very, very easy to start something for yourself. If that's the case, then you put yourself in the best possible position, because, you know, with money, you can grow money. If you don't have money, it's very difficult to start growing anything. So, of course, personal savings are always great, but you will at some point run out of your own money, as property is very expensive. Let's face it. And of course, you can get great cash flow. So before I got myself, so to speak, educated, I was looking at buying a couple of buy to lets with my sister. We're up north. Well, I'm up north. She's down south. But we're going to buy them up north. We're going to get a couple of, you know, two up, two down, buy to lets, probably about 40, 50 grand each, which I had now actually at the end of the day, because they would have doubled in price. And that was it, really. It was a case of doing that and then hoping over the next, you know, 5-10 years that they'll go up in value, that we'll be able to remortgage them, which we would have been able to do. And we can buy some more. But of course, house prices will have gone up as well. So it's a very slow, old-fashioned way of thinking about how to do things. And of course, now with the knowledge that I have, I know that that's not the best use of my time, resources, or finances. So, you know, personal savings, if you're looking at just doing property as a bit of a sideline, as a hobby, you want to park some money somewhere, then you can do it that way. But as savvy investors, and I always say, you know, be the property professional that you want to be in whatever it is you're trying to do, then we need to try and make sure that we get finances and money going as far as we possibly can. And of course, refinancing properties, pulling money back out to be able to go, to be able to keep momentum investing is very, very important. So that moves us on to number two, really, which is looking at joint ventures. Now, a lot of people, as soon as they say joint ventures, they think, right, I find a deal, I find the investor, put them together, happy days. And that is the case. But it's not always as simple and as easy as that. And one of the things I'd like to say on that as well is sometimes there could be a joint venture partner right under your nose. There could be a family member, could be a close friend, could be somebody that you work with that's squirreled all this money away, for want of a better word, and doesn't really know what to do with it. They can see that they're not making any money on the money, but they're just holding on to it because they don't really know what else to do. And this is where it's very, very important to know what you're doing. So know the strategy that you want to go down. Make sure that you are educated in that strategy. You know how to break down the numbers. You know a good deal is a good deal. So whether you're deal sourcing, you need to know what a good deal is. You know, a lot of people think, well, I'll just go on Rightmove or I'll just speak to an agent. I'll find a good deal. If I know that it's a bit below market value, I can sell that deal. I would say get yourself a bit more knowledge than that so you can really explain the details on things so that people have faith in what you're offering. You know, if you're doing rent to rent, sometimes you can get a deal. It might need a couple of grand or something just to set it all up, just to sort yourself out. Make sure you know what you're doing. You can explain it. And you've also got a process exactly of how you're going to pay people back. So if you are doing joint ventures where people want to be paid back, you need to have deadlines or set dates of this sort of thing happens here. And this is going to happen here. So if you are having a loan for 12 months, you would take that 12-month loan. Then you would say, you know, how's the interest going to be paid back? What percentage do you want? Now, if they're not particularly property people, you speak to a property person at what you want, they're going to be about 10% upwards. But if you speak to just, you know, people that aren't really into property or into investing, you know, 4 or 5% is massive for them. And I see a lot of people going in there saying, I've got a great deal and I'll give you 10% return on it. Why? Just say, I've got a great deal. Does anybody want to talk to me about it? Okay. And then just ask them, okay, this is a great deal and everything. What would be fair for you? What would be a good percentage for you? Let them tell you, because a lot of the time they'll actually say a percentage that is probably less than what you were willing to offer anyway. And if the numbers stack, they're getting a win. So if somebody said to me, now I had a great deal and potentially I could go up to 10% return on that deal. Okay. I would say, I've got a great deal. Does anybody want to talk about it? And my network. So I would tell my family. I would tell my friends. I would tell anybody else that I know in my network. You know, I would tell everybody at the end of the day and see who comes to me. And of course, put it into conversations. You know, who do you know who might be able to help you with this deal? And of course, if somebody came to me, I'll show them the deal. I'll show them the numbers. You know, over 12 months, this will happen. If for whatever reason, the market goes up or down and we can't withdraw all the money, you'll get this percentage as well of interest through the cash flow of the property if we're looking to hold on to the property and give them all the knowledge, you know, give them all the information so that they're safe in the knowledge that they know what's going on. And of course, then I would just say, what's a fair percentage? What are you looking for? What would make you happy? And a lot of the time, they might say 4% make me happy. Mark, if you can give me 4% on my investment, first charge maybe on the property, if you're allowed to do so or you're able to do so, happy days. If that is the case, I would probably say, I'll tell you what, because you're working with me, let me give you 5%. Now, I was willing to go 10%. But all of a sudden, they're even happier then. And you make it a win-win for everybody. So that's really what you want to be doing. So at number two, joint ventures can be very, very powerful. But know what you're doing, know your numbers, and know your exit strategies as well. Of course, number three, the obvious one is mortgages. You can use the banks. You can use the financial sector to do this. There is obviously bridging that you can get as well, bridging mortgages. You can use crowdfunding. Crowd property is a great source of this as well. And if you do have a deal and you're doing a refurbishment on it, a lot of people think companies like Crown Property only deal with the multi-million pound projects, you know, the big projects, because that, a lot of the time that's what we see. Obviously, they celebrate the big projects. But I was talking to a member of Crown Property the other day, and they said the majority of their work come from small little refurbishments, developments, anything that's over £100,000, Crown Property will look to fund. OK, so that opens up the market to anything. You know, a lot of us, even up north where the prices are down low, you can still find projects that will actually, you know, cost more potentially than £100,000. Crowd Property will look at it then and look to fund it if it's a good deal. So make sure that you don't cut off those parts because you're thinking to yourself, well, you know, bridging's going to cost me this. Crowdfunding's going to cost me this. Factor that in, because if you've got a really, really good deal, why hang about or even risk the opportunity of losing that deal just simply because you didn't go to Crown Property and maybe just use it because they've got a bit of a percentage there that you weren't happy with? A lot of the times, using institutions like that are better. And why are they better? Why? Because you know where you stand with them. Everything is clear cut. Boom, boom. This is what's happening. Equally to that, if they're backing you on your deal, then you know it's a good deal because they don't just back anybody. They only back the deals that they're pretty sure or really confident that they're going to get their returns on. So by doing so, you put yourself in a really good position. You've got a good backer and you've got a company that will really, really help you as well. So look at mortgages. You know, we're going to get mortgages if we're doing buy-to-lets and we're going to put a bit of money down and things. But don't just dismiss bridging and stuff. Go and speak to companies, go and speak to people and make the most of what's out there. And of course, if you are looking at buying a property and maybe the seller who's selling it doesn't need their money right now, you can look at creative strategies, you know, like vendor finance. So vendor finance at the end of the day is when somebody's selling a property, they may not need the money now. You might be able to bring in the refurb costs. So maybe you can add value to the property and you make it a win-win. So you say to them, I want to buy your property off of you. But basically, you supply the property. Now, you can, of course, they can refinance it, pull some money out as well. But that's getting into really, really, you know, depth. And we'll keep a high level overview here. I'll be here all day. But they can supply the property. You supply the refurb. You get all of this done with solicitors and all agreed. And then you can split the profits. Now, you could potentially say to them, we can give you X amount more on the purchase price. Or you could just split it 50-50. However you want to do it. It's great with family members when they're a little bit stuck and they need to get rid of a property and you see the potential in that property because it's easier to work with them. And if you can do a couple of these sort of deals and get a proven track record doing them, it's a lot easier to get out there and to explain it to people, you know, or landlords or investors when you're actually starting to try and do that. So those are just four sort of high level overviews of how you can look to fund different deals. I would say some top tips on that are realistically, again, and I can't emphasize this enough, know what you're doing. So ask questions in the group here because there'll be a lot of people that have done these different strategies. And also put it in the comments below as well, how you've done a deal, how you got creative, the different strategies that you've used as well, because I've just touched the surface at the end of the day here. I could say I could be here all day going through all the different strategies, but there's people in this community that have done some really, really great creative stuff. And share that bit of information, if you like, how you've done a specific deal, because it inspires others and helps them move forward. And that's what this great community is all about here. So know your numbers as well. Know how to stack your deals. Know your contingencies. You know, don't fudge the figures, so to speak. Make sure that you know the numbers are set numbers and you're not going to, you know, fiddle around with them. Make it worst case scenario, because if your deal still stacks at a worst case scenario, you've got confidence. Listen, we're property investors, but we need to be able to sleep at night. We don't want to be stressful, pulling our hair out. I ain't got that much hair to pull out. But you don't want to be doing stuff like that. We want to be making sure that we're doing good deals, safe in the knowledge that we know exactly what it is we're going to be doing and have a fallback plan. A lot of people say, I don't have a plan B. Don't need a plan B. If I have a plan B, I'll be thinking about it. Have a contingency plan, if nothing else, please. Okay. Have something, you know, don't spend all the money. You know, there's going to be problems. You know, properties always nearly pull up some sort of problem that we didn't foresee in things. So make sure you've got a good contingency plan. And the main top tip that I'll tell you all now is tell people what you're doing. There's people in this community, there's people out there doing some absolutely amazing stuff. Amazing things, and nobody ever hears about it. Nobody ever knows about it. Why? They might just put it on their feed or post about it on their feed, but they don't really share it. You know, social media in this day and age now probably shows a post to about 20, 30, 40 people, depending on the traction that the post gets. So it never really gets out there. So somebody who's a really good development, doing a fantastic job, and is always looking over their shoulder thinking, I'm always a bit tight for cash on these. We're doing well, but of course, property is expensive. You know, it'd be nice to have some investors there. Well, you probably would if they've invested in you, you existed. So make sure that you're giving updates, that you're posting regularly, and you're posting in groups as well. It's all good and well putting it on your feed, and you've got, you know, a couple of 90 people or something like that that are actually friends with you. Go into a group like this where there's thousands of people. I'm not saying your post is going to get to thousands of people, but I tell you what, the more you post about what you're doing with pictures of what you're doing and things like that, the more traction you get, the more people will start to follow you. And when they see your post, they'll think, I read that post last time. They'll start to click on that post. They'll start to like it. They'll start to comment on it. I wonder how it's going. Give us an update. Keep it going. Keep it going. That's what a community is all about. And there'll be people in here that are lurkers, and nothing wrong with the lurkers, because there'll be people in here lurking with some money thinking to themselves, do you know what? I do like property. I do know that you can gain and you can make lots of money in property, but I don't particularly want to go out there and do all the work myself. Or potentially, I haven't got the time to get out there and do it all of myself. But if I know somebody is doing phenomenal deals, then I'd be quite happy to invest as an armchair investor, sit back, relax, and let them do all the work. Let them take the lion's share, but I'll take my little bit of cream off the top, so to speak. And that, for me, is how you are a passive investor when it comes to property. So as I say, there's four different ways there to fund your deals and look at things, but make sure you know what you're doing. Make sure you're a property professional in the strategy that you choose. And let's get out there and do these good deals. What I always like to say when I finish these up as well, if you've got any questions or you've enjoyed this, give us a like, give us a thumbs up, give us a, hey, Mark, I did enjoy that. Thank you very much. Could you do some more of these sort of things? Because we're more than happy to do so. And if I can help and support you any which way, shape or form, then I will, as will the Property Investor Network team. We're a friendly bunch and we're here to help. So make sure you know what you're doing, you know your numbers, and then there's money out there everywhere. Money ebbs and flows all over the place, okay? You just need to be out there in the right, putting yourself in the right opportunities to be able to grab some of that money. And then you can go out there and you can build your property portfolio. There's people doing it now that have the knowledge, don't have the funds, but they're finding people with the funds. There's people out there with the money, don't have the knowledge, but don't really want to know the knowledge either, just want to make money. All you got to do is put yourself out. So pin meetings are great for that. Go to networking events anyway, even if they're not property investing networking events, because you may meet some investors type people. But pin meetings are a great start if you've never been or you're not used to going to networking events and things like that. So book onto your local pin meeting. If you've never been to a pin meeting before, then when you actually go to book onto it, if you want to use my code, which I'm more than happy if you do, which is Mark, M-A-R-K, 31, the number 31. So Mark 31. Put that in the voucher section and I'll treat you to your first pin meeting. How's that? Can't say fairer than that. Roll up. So I'll catch you all very, very soon. You all take care. Have a great day. Enjoy the rest of your week. Bye for now.
Thank you for tuning in to the Property Investors Network podcast. Remember, investing in property is not just about numbers and profits, but also about building communities and creating a lasting impact. You can do this by checking out our website at pinfurtherlearning.co.uk. And of course, look to book onto your local property investors networking event. We are here to help and support you every step of the way, and I look forward to you joining me very soon. Bye for now.